The Fellowship of the Ring, Cassette 13.
Aragorn picked up Frodo where he lay by the wall and made for the stair, pushing Merry and Pippin in front of him. The others followed, but Gimli had to be dragged away by Legolas. In spite of the peril, he lingered by Balin's tomb with his head bowed. Boromir hauled the eastern door to, grinding upon its hinges. It had great iron rings on either side, but could not be fastened. "I'm all right," gasped Frodo. "I can walk. Put me down." Aragorn nearly dropped him in amazement. "I thought you were dead," he cried.
"Not yet," said Gandalf. "But there is time for wonder. Off you go, all of you, down the stairs. Wait a few minutes for me at the bottom. If I don't come soon, go on. Go quickly and choose paths leading right and downwards."
"We can't leave you to hold the doors alone," said Aragorn.
"Do as I say," said Gandalf fiercely. "Swords are no more use here. Go."
The passage was lit by no shaft and was utterly dark. They groped their way down a long flight of steps, and then looked back, but they could see nothing, except high above them the faint glimmer of the wizard's staff. He seemed to be still, standing on guard by the closed door. Frodo breathed heavily and leaned against Sam, who put his arms about him. They stood peering up the stairs into the darkness. Frodo thought he could hear the voice of Gandalf above, muttering words that ran down the sloping roof with a sighing echo. He could not catch what was said. The walls seemed to be trembling. Every now and again the drum beats throbbed and rolled. Doom, doom. Suddenly at the top of the stairs there was a stab of white light. Then there was a dull rumble and a heavy thud. The drum beats broke out wildly. Doom, boom, doom, boom, and then stopped. Gandalf came flying down the steps and fell to the ground in the midst of the company.
"Well, well, that's over," said the wizard, struggling to his feet. "I've done all that I could, but I've met my match and have nearly been destroyed. But don't stand here. Go on. You'll have to do without light for a while. I'm rather shaken. Go on. Go on. Where are you, Gimli? Come ahead with me. Keep close behind, all of you."
They stumbled after him, wondering what had happened. "Doom, doom," went the drum beats again. They now sounded muffled and far away, but they were following. There was no other sound of pursuit, neither tramp of feet nor any voice. Gandalf took no turns, right or left, for the passage seemed to be going in the direction that he desired. Every now and again it descended a flight of steps, 50 or more, to a lower level. At the moment that was their chief danger, for in the dark they could not see a descent until they came on it, and put their feet out into emptiness. Gandalf felt the ground with his staff like a blind man. At the end of an hour they had gone a mile, or maybe a little more, and had descended many flights of stairs. There was still no sound of pursuit. Almost they began to hope that they would escape. At the bottom of the seventh flight Gandalf halted.
"It's getting hot," he gasped. "We ought to be down at least to the level of the gates now. Soon I think we should look for a left-hand turn to take us east. I hope it's not far. I'm very weary. I must rest here a moment, even if all the orcs ever spawned are after us."
Gimli took his arm and helped him down to a seat on the step.
"What happened away up there at the door?" he asked. "Did you meet the beater of the drums?"
"I don't know," answered Gandalf, "but I found myself suddenly faced by something that I've not met before. I could think of nothing to do but to try and put a shutting spell on the door. I know many, but to do things of that kind rightly requires time, and even then the door can be broken by strength. As I stood there, I could hear hawk voices on the other side. At any moment I thought they would burst it open. I could not hear what was said. They seemed to be talking in their own hideous language. All I caught was Karsh, which is fire. Then something came into the chamber. I felt it through the door, and the orcs themselves were afraid and silent. I laid hold of the iron ring, and then it perceived me and my spell. What it was I cannot guess, but I have never felt such a challenge. The counter spell was terrible. It nearly broke me.
For an instant, the door left my control and began to open. I had to speak a word of command. That proved too great a strain. The door burst in pieces. Something dark as a cloud was blocking out all the light inside, and I was thrown backwards down the stairs. All the wall gave way, and the roof of the chamber as well, I think. I'm afraid Barlin is buried deep, and maybe something else is buried there too. I cannot say. But at least the passage behind us was completely blocked. Ah, I've never felt so spent. But it's passing. And now what about you, Frodo? There was not time to say so, but I've never been more delighted in my life than when you spoke. I feared that it was a brave but dead hobbit that Aragorn was carrying. What about me? Said Frodo. I'm alive and whole, I think. I'm bruised and in pain, but it's not too bad. Well, said Aragorn, I can only say that hobbits are made of a stuff so tough that I've never met the like of it. Had I known, I would have spoken softer in the inn at Bree. That spear thrust would have skewered a wild boar. Well, it didn't skewer me, I'm glad to say, said Frodo, though I feel as if I'd been caught between a hammer and an anvil. He said no more. He found breathing painful. You take after Bilbo, said Gandalf. There's more about you than meets the eye, as I said of him long ago. Frodo wondered if the remark meant more than it said. They now went on again. Before long, Gimli spoke. He had keen eyes in the dark.
I think, he said, that there is a light ahead. But it's not daylight. It's red. What can it be?
Gosh, muttered Gandalf. I wonder if that is what they meant, that the lower levels are on fire. Still, we can only go on. Soon the light became unmistakable, and could be seen by all. It was flickering and glowing on the walls away down the passage before them. They could now see their way. In front the road sloped down swiftly, and some way ahead there stood a low archway. Through it the glowing light came. The air became very hot. When they came to the arch, Gandalf went through, signing to them to wait. As he stood just beyond the opening, they saw his face lit by a red glow. Quickly he stepped back.
There is some new devilry here, he said, devised for our welcome, no doubt. But I know now where we are. We have reached the first deep, the level immediately below the gates. This is the second hall of old Moria, and the gates are near, away beyond the eastern end, on the left, not more than a quarter of a mile. Across the bridge, up a broad stair, along a wide road through the first hall and out. But come and look. They peered out. Before them was another cavernous hall. It was loftier and far longer than the one in which they had slept. They were near its eastern end. Westward it ran away into darkness. Down the center stalked a double line of towering pillars. They were carved like boles of mighty trees whose boughs upheld the roof with a branching tracery of stone. Their stems were smooth and black, but a red glow was darkly mirrored in their sides. Right across the floor, close to the feet of two huge pillars, a great fissure had opened. Out of it a fierce red light came, and now and again flames licked at the brink and curled about the bases of the columns. Wisps of dark smoke wavered in the hot air.
"If we had come by the main road down from the upper halls, we should have been trapped here," said Gandalf. "Let us hope that the fire now lies between us and pursuit. Come, there's no time to lose."
Even as he spoke, they heard again the pursuing drumbeat, "Doom, doom, doom." Away beyond the shadows at the western end of the hall there came cries and horn calls, "Doom, doom!" The pillars seemed to tremble and the flames to quiver.
"Now for the last race," said Gandalf. "If the sun is shining outside, we may still escape. After me!"
He turned left and sped across the smooth floor of the hall. The distance was greater than it had looked. As they ran, they heard the beat and echo of many hurrying feet behind. A shrill yell went up. They had been seen. There was a ring and a clash of steel. An arrow whistled over Frodo's head. Boromir laughed.
"They did not expect this," he said.
The fire has cut them off. We're on the wrong side. Look ahead, called Gandalf. The bridge is near. It is dangerous and narrow.
Suddenly Frodo saw before him a black chasm. At the end of the hall, the floor vanished and fell to an unknown depth. The outer door could only be reached by a slender bridge of stone, without curb or rail, that spanned the chasm with one curving spring of 50 feet. It was an ancient defense of the dwarves against any enemy that might capture the first hall and the outer passages. They could only pass across it in single file. At the brink Gandalf halted, and the others came up in a pack behind.
"Lead the way, Gimli," he said. "Pippin and Merry next. Straight on, and up the stair behind the door."
Arrows fell among them. One struck Frodo and sprang back. Another pierced Gandalf's hat, and stuck there like a black feather. Frodo looked behind. Beyond the fire he saw swarming black figures. There seemed to be hundreds of orcs. They brandished spears and scimitars which shone red as blood in the firelight.
Doom, doom, rolled the drumbeats, growing louder and louder. Doom, doom.
Legolas turned and set an arrow to the string. Though it was a long shot for his small bow, he drew, but his hand fell, and the arrow slipped to the ground. He gave a cry of dismay and fear. Two great trolls appeared. They bore great slabs of stone, and flung them down to serve as gangways over the fire. But it was not the trolls that had filled the elf with terror. The ranks of the orcs had opened, and they crowded away, as if they themselves were afraid. Something was coming up behind them. What it was could not be seen. It was like a great shadow, in the middle of which was a dark form, of man-shape, maybe, yet greater, and a power and terror seemed to be in it and to go before it. It came to the edge of the fire, and the light faded as if a cloud had bent over it. Then, with a rush, it leaped across the fissure. The flames roared up to greet it, and wreathed about it, and a black smoke swirled in the air. Its streaming mane kindled and blazed behind it. In its right hand was a blade like a stabbing tongue of fire. In its left it held a whip of many thongs.
"Hi! Hi!" wailed Legolas. "A Balrog! A Balrog is come!"
Gimli stared with wide eyes.
"Durin's bane," he cried, and letting his axe fall, he covered his face. "A Balrog," muttered Gandalf. "Now I understand." He faltered and leaned heavily on his staff. "What an evil fortune, and I am already weary."
The dark figure streaming with fire raced towards them. The orcs yelled and poured over the stone gangways. Then Boromir raised his horn and blew. Loud the challenge rang and bellowed, like the shout of many throats under the cavernous roof. For a moment the orcs quailed and the fiery shadow halted. Then the echoes died as suddenly as a flame blown out by a dark wind, and the enemy advanced again.
"Over the bridge!" cried Gandalf, recalling his strength. "Fly! This is a foe beyond any of you. I must hold the narrow way. Fly!"
Aragorn and Boromir did not heed the command, but still held their ground, side by side, behind Gandalf at the far end of the bridge. The others halted just within the doorway at the hall's end and turned, unable to leave their leader to face the enemy alone. The Balrog reached the bridge. Gandalf stood in the middle of the span, leaning on the staff in his left hand, but in his other hand Glamdring gleamed, cold and white. His enemy halted again, facing him, and the shadow about it reached out like two vast wings. It raised the whip, and the thongs whined and cracked. Fire came from its nostrils, but Gandalf stood firm.
"You cannot pass," he said.
The orc stood still, and a dead silence fell.
"I am servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Arnor. You cannot pass. The dark fire will not avail you, flame of Odun. Go back to the shadow. You cannot pass."
The Balrog made no answer. The fire in it seemed to die, but the darkness grew. It stepped forward slowly onto the bridge,
and suddenly it drew itself up to a great height, and its wings were spread from wall to wall. But Gandalf could be seen, glimmering in the gloom. He seemed small, and altogether alone, grey and bent, like a wizened tree before the onset of a storm. From out of the shadow a red sword leaped flaming. Glamdring glittered white in answer. There was a ringing clash and a stab of white fire. The Balrog fell back, and its sword flew up in molten fragments. The wizard swayed on the bridge, stepped back a pace, and then again stood still. "You cannot pass," he said. With a bound, the Balrog leapt full upon the bridge. Its whip whirled and hissed.
"He cannot stand alone," cried Aragorn suddenly, and ran back along the bridge.
"Elendil," he shouted, "I am with you, Gandalf."
"Gondor,"
cried Boromir, and leapt after him. At that moment Gandalf lifted his staff, and crying aloud he smote the bridge before him. The staff broke asunder and fell from his hand. A blinding sheet of white flame sprang up. The bridge cracked. Right at the Balrog's feet it broke, and the stone upon which it stood crashed into the gulf, while the rest remained poised, quivering like a tongue of rock thrust out into emptiness. With a terrible cry the Balrog fell forward, and its shadow plunged down and vanished. But even as it fell it swung its whip, and the thongs lashed and curled about the wizard's knees, dragging him to the brink. He staggered and fell, grasped vainly at the stone, and slid into the abyss.
"Fly, you fools!" he cried, and was gone.
The fires went out, and blank darkness fell. The company stood rooted with horror, staring into the pit. Even as Aragorn and Boromir came flying back, the rest of the bridge cracked and fell. With a cry, Aragorn roused them.
"Come, I will lead you now," he called. "We must obey his last command. Follow me."
They stumbled wildly up the great stairs beyond the door, Aragorn leading, Boromir at the rear. At the top was a wide, echoing passage. Along this they fled. Frodo heard Sam at his side weeping, and then he found that he himself was weeping as he ran. Doom, doom, doom. The drum beats rolled behind, mournful now and slow. Doom. They ran on. The light grew before them. Great shafts pierced the roof. They ran swifter. They passed into a hall, bright with daylight from its high windows in the east. They fled across it. Through its huge broken doors they passed, and suddenly before them the great gates opened, an arch of blazing light. There was a guard of orcs crouching in the shadows behind the great doorposts, towering on either side, but the gates were shattered and cast down. Aragorn smote to the ground the captain that stood in his path, and the rest fled in terror of his wrath. The company swept past them and took no heed of them. Out of the gates they ran, and sprang down the huge and age-worn steps, the threshold of Moria. Thus, at last, they came beyond hope under the sky and felt the wind on their faces. They did not halt until they were out of bowshot from the walls. Dimrill Dale lay about them. The shadow of the misty mountains lay upon it, but eastwards there was a golden light on the land. It was but 1 hour after noon. The sun was shining, the clouds were white and high. They looked back. Dark yawned the archway of the gates under the mountain's shadow. Faint and far beneath the earth rolled the slow drumbeats. Doom. A thin black smoke trailed out. Nothing else was to be seen. The dale all around was empty. Doom. Grief at last wholly overcame them, and they wept long, some standing and silent, some cast upon the ground. Doom, doom, the drum beats faded.
Chapter 6. Lothlorien.
"Alas, I fear we cannot stay here longer," said Aragorn. He looked towards the mountains and held up his sword. "Farewell, Gandalf," he cried. "Did I not say to you, if you pass the doors of Moria, beware? Alas that I spoke true. What hope have we without you?"
He turned to the company. "We must do without hope," he said. "At least we may yet be avenged. Let us gird ourselves and weep no more. Come, we have a long road and much to do." They rose and looked about them. Northward the dale ran up into a glen of shadows between two great arms of the mountains, above which three white peaks were shining.
Celebdil, Thanuithal, Carathras, the mountains of Moria. At the head of the glen, a torrent flowed like a white lace over an endless ladder of short falls, and a mist of foam hung in the air above the mountain's feet. "Yonder is the Dimrill Stair," said Aragorn, pointing to the falls. "Down the deep cloven way that climbs beside the torrent, we should have come, if fortune had been kinder."
"O Carathras, less cruel," said Gimli. "There he stands smiling in the sun." He shook his fist at the furthest of the snow-capped peaks and turned away.
To the east the outflung arm of the mountains marched to a sudden end, and far lands could be descried beyond them, wide and vague. To the south the misty mountains receded endlessly as far as sight could reach.